Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz.
You liked him before. So he's back with more.
The Drive on KFH.
Listener Appreciation Month continues here on the show, and our listeners are killing it. Alex Malone gives us Werewolves of London. Warren Zevon, Jeff Passan joins us from ESPN. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Glad to have you on. We appreciate it. We know you're busy. Spring training underway all across Florida and Arizona. And what I read your latest piece on ESPN.com with great interest. And it also made me a little, I don't know, melancholy, is that the word? Because baseball has some issues right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not great at the moment. I think the game is being played at a higher level than it's ever been before. I think the pitchers and the pitches they're throwing are better. I think the skills and just the overall abilities of the hitters are better, but there are labor issues and there are pace of game issues. And I think both of those, particularly the latter, need to be front and center in the discussion between the Central Office of Major League Baseball and the Players Association. And I think there's too much focus almost on the former at this point, which it worries me. And it worries a lot of people in the sport because we're going to have gone a quarter century this year without a labor lockout or strike, and we're trending toward one of those in 2021.
It seems like there's a little bit of a reset in how to compensate players.
Yes, that's exactly what needs to happen. Somebody put it to me that the Players Association has a distribution problem, and I think that's the truth. I think that teams right now have zero intentions of paying anybody but the absolute best players into their 30s. And so long as those guys are not getting paid, someone needs to get paid, right? And the money is not going to the younger players because the system in baseball right now simply does not lend itself to giving that type of money, the big money, to players who are in their 20s. Teams have 7 years of control over players. And the problem therein is, if you have a guy who comes up at 23 years old and he's under control for 7 years, he's not hitting free agency until before his age 31 season. And that is an issue. That is a big issue. That is a deep issue. And that's something that the Players Association, I think, is having trouble grappling with.
Jeff, so do you see a more likely outcome is that we are kind of working toward a work stoppage in 2021, or are these issues so pressing and so dire that the two sides will have no choice but to work it out before then?
Well, I we're so far off from that, and so much can happen between now and then. Things aren't good right now, but there have been times in the past where things haven't been good 2.5 years away from the end of a labor agreement, and they've turned out just fine. So I think there needs to be more mutual respect between the sides, but I also think that respect needs to be earned and that negotiations need to be in good faith and that there needs to be understanding and not rancor, and that both of the parties need to recognize that there's a lot more to lose than there is to gain through a labor stoppage. I understand the anger with the players. I get it. Like, they're not getting the money that they've gotten in the past. And I understand why teams are doing this, too, because players in their 30s aren't as good as players who are in their 20s. That's just a fact. So when you're dealing with these facts, but when you're dealing with the fallout from them, it ends up really putting a problematic situation in play. And this is where the adults in the room need to say, okay, we have a problem. How are we going to solve it?
Jeff Passan with us, ESPN, ESPN.com. He writes for ESPN, the magazine. Of course, relatively new to ESPN, and enjoy reading your stuff, Jeff. Let's look a little bit at Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're 26-year-old free agents. They're not going to be 30 for a while. They would seem to be commanding a lot of dollars. Are they going to end up signing shorter-term deals for higher average yearly sums of money?
I don't think so. I don't think it behooves either of them to do that, because I still do believe that there's a market for a double-digit year deal for players who are 26 years old. But I also think there's an argument to be made that if you do sign that short-term, high average annual value deal, maybe you're ushering in a new financial era in Major League Baseball. Maybe instead of moving the overall biggest contract in Major League history, you're going to set a new record single-year value, and someone's going to become the first $40 million player. Again, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I don't think that's the thing that's going to happen. But there's an argument to be made, if you're Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, that would be a reasonable thing to do, so long as, we're talking 6 years and $40 million. I just don't know if a team's going to be willing to go into that neighborhood at this point. It's a lot more like an NBA contract than it is anything MLB has ever seen.
Jeff, I'm asking you kind of to speculate here, but did the lack of signings here, or there's so many eligible free agents still out there, does that create unrest among players who are on rosters, knowing that not necessarily that their position or their spot will be taken, but just that these rosters aren't full yet, and there is so much uncertainty in a time where there is usually not very much uncertainty in spring training? Does that create unrest among players?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Justin Verlander tweeted a couple days ago that there are 100 major league free agents who don't have deals. I mean, that's not true. Like, there are 50 guys who had 6-plus years of service who were in the major leagues last year and became free agents. Now, among those guys, there are about 50 who are still unsigned at this point. And among those 50, there are probably about 25 who you can say are definite big leaguers. And a few here who are kind of on the cusp, they may end up signing minor league deals, but you know, there's not a whole lot out there. And so the narrative that, you know, there are still so many free agents unsigned at this point, it's not true. But what is true is that there are still big names there. It's Harper. It's Machado. It's Craig Kimbrell. It's Dallas Keuchel. To a lesser sense, it's Marwin Gonzalez, who's an underappreciated type player. It's Carlos Gonzalez, who's on the downside of his career, but at one point was an absolute star. I mean, there are guy after guy after guy who should be in a big league camp somewhere who are not right now. And so when you have this number, you know, 25, it's not a lot compared to 100. It is a lot compared to where it's been in the past.
We're talking baseball with Jeff Passan from ESPN. I've got four teams locked into the playoffs in the American League: Houston, the Yankees, Boston, Cleveland.
Yep.
That pretty much, I think, is a done deal. In the National League, though, we've got a lot more intrigue. We've got a lot of good teams in the National League. The National League East is loaded. The National League Central looks very competitive. The National League's much more interesting, isn't it?
100%. I have no idea who's going to win the East. I have no idea who's going to win the Central. The Dodgers look pretty comfortable out in the West, but the Rockies were a playoff team last year, too, and you can see some steps forward from their guys. So I think so many eyes are going to be on the East and the Central this year, because the American League, it's almost like you've got Tampa Bay, Oakland, Minnesota, the Angels, in a sense, playing for a second wild card spot. And that's not an enjoyable 162-game season that you're looking at right there. And I wonder when the attendance is going to start to reflect that. Because I think what's going to change ownership's tack on free agency is not players talking about how guys don't have jobs, not the inequity that is clearly there, where the middle class has been squeezed, it's ticket sales going down. And that seems counterintuitive, right? That ticket sales go down and clubs spend more, but I think there's going to be more of an emphasis on winning at that point. And that I think, is going to drive eventually the greater salaries in baseball. At least I hope so over the next 2 years. And I, you know, as someone who's a baseball fan, I'd hate to see ballparks less filled, but baseball demographics are trending in the wrong direction at this point. Young people are not watching the game, and that is a huge issue for MLB.
I got to be a homer just for a second, Jeff. I root for Cleveland. Francisco Lindor's out 2 months. They're Mike Chernoff and Chris Antonetti have basically said only minor league-type signings. But Mike Moustakas and Marwin Gonzalez both seem to be perfect fits. Any chance that either of those guys end up in Cleveland?
No, just say no. Break his heart and we can move on.
It's not breaking my heart. I expect you to say no, but I hope you say yes.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it, but look, if Moustakas' price drops to the point where the Indians say, and let's remember, they went and got Josh Donaldson last year at the trade deadline. So it's not like the Indians are not opportunistic. If Mike Moustakas is asking for 1 year at the same salary that the Royals paid him last year, and the Indians don't jump in there and grab him, I think it is a wasted opportunity. But then, I mean, are you really going to play Jason Kipnis in center field? Like, are you going to try that experiment again? I think Marwin Gonzalez makes a lot more sense for Cleveland in terms of his versatility. I mean, he can play a little bit of shortstop. And I don't think Lindor is going to miss opening day, to be honest. I think he's a quick healer. I think he will be back. Calf injuries do tend to linger sometimes, so you don't want to rush him back. But he can play shortstop on opening day if need be, or Eric Gonzalez. And he can play outfield. He plays outfield pretty well. So he is a perfect guy. But Scott Boras, who's Marwin Gonzalez's agent, doesn't seem terribly inclined to budge at this point on the price tag. And you really got to wonder, at what point is he going to budge? Because pitchers and catchers have reported, and position players there later this week. I mean, the more time you miss, the worse off I think you are historically. And it's something that you can recover from, but it's something that no player wants, missing time at the beginning of spring training.
All right, Jeff Passan with us. I'll ask you one more question. It'll be a little provincial from my standpoint. I'm a Cardinals fan. And that's the team I could see winning.
I'm sorry.
But, hey, now watch out, Jeff. That's the team I could see winning.
Listen, I live in Kansas City. Like, I am required by law to say.
Well, I think the Royals are making some astute moves in their bullpen right now. My son disagrees, but I think the Royals, they're building a decent bridge to where they want to go in the future. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if it's a bridge to where they want to go in the future, but I agree wholeheartedly that Boxberger, Diekman, and Drew Storen, for the prices they're getting them at, are very good, high upside moves. I think any of those guys, and probably if they stay healthy, all three of them can and will be traded at the deadline, and they'll get a prospect for it. And, you know, you got to trust your scout in that situation.
All right. Now back to the, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, but I want you to answer this Cardinals question. I could see if everything goes right, Alex Reyes is a factor, Carlos Martinez finds it again, several other, Dexter Fowler comes back strongly. I could see them winning 95 games, but I could also see none of those things going right and them winning 83 games. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's about right. And you know what? The variance for the Cardinals is big, and I like the Cardinals offseason a lot. I think getting Paul Goldschmidt was a really good move, and I think they gave up a lot for him. Cardinals fans tend to disagree, and that's all well and good. But I also think it was, even though they gave up a lot for him, I think it was the right move. I also like the Andrew Miller signing. I think it fills an important role in that bullpen that has been an issue the past few seasons. But at the same time, they're in the division with the Chicago Cubs, who are really good. And they're in a division with the Milwaukee Brewers, who are really good. And they're in a division with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are pretty good. There are teams, even the Cincinnati Reds, who have done a ton this offseason to improve themselves. There's not going to be an easy game in the Central this year. And so 95, thinking about it again, 95 is high. I don't think anyone's going to win 95 games in that division this year. I think it's they're just going to beat each other up, and the winner's probably going to have 90 to 92.
I think you're probably right. Maybe 95. I was a little excited. Let's admit it.
I understand. Cardinals fans tend to get that way.
Jeff, good talking with you. Thanks for being on. We appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff Passan, ESPN.com.
He's good at what he does.
No memes.
No.
I checked out his Twitter. Never a meme. We'll be back in a minute with Joanna Chadwick, Vibe Magazine, talking a little high school basketball. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.